Earlier this month, John Kyle's four-month interim stint back in the U.S. Senate came to an end, as Martha McSally was appointed to fill the next 2 years in the seat that had been held for decades by the late Senator John McCain. In leaving office, Kyle filed a financial disclosure form. It included hundreds of thousands of dollars he made as a registered lobbyist for the firm Covington & Burling. There's also more than $120,000 reported as pay Kyle received from ASU for teaching classes. Jim Small, editor-in-chief of the Arizona Mirror, has looked into that particular aspect of Kyle's disclosure form and is with me. Jim, let's get some background on this and on what intrigued you about Kyle's disclosures.
Yeah, so in his financial disclosure statement, and this is the kind of thing that a candidate would normally file before they become a U.S. senator or a congressman, he was able to file it at the beginning of January, basically after he was out the door. And what we saw in there was that he had earned in 2017 and 2018, so for a two-year period, he earned about $129,000 from ASU, mm-hmm. which the fact that he was being paid by ASU wasn't necessarily that big of a surprise. I mean, back in 2015, ASU announced to a lot of fanfare that he'd been brought in as a distinguished fellow for the law school and for the School of Public Policy, and that he was going, they said at the time, he was going to be teaching classes in both schools. Yeah. And he listed on his disclosure form that he was paid this amount of money for teaching both law school and undergraduate classes. That made me, I was curious to see what exactly was he teaching and how much was he teaching, because as far as I know, he's been living in Washington, D.C. full-time as a lobbyist, and he's been making a lot of money, as you would expect a lawyer who was the number two Republican in the Senate who leaves and goes on to K Street and becomes a lobbyist. You'd expect them to make a lot of money, and there's no doubt that he was doing that, making basically a seven-figure income as a high-powered lobbyist. So I was kind of curious to see what was he teaching and how much time, you know, especially in light of the fact that Republicans during the gubernatorial election just a few months ago attacked David Garcia and said his $82,000 salary for teaching three classes was extravagant, and that basically he was a malingerer and was gold bricking it and was stealing money from the taxpayers. And so I was kind of curious to see, in contrast, how was Kyle going to shape up? So I went back and I started looking at all the online catalogs at ASU for the law school for 2018, 2017, 2016, 2015, found no classes that were taught by Senator Kyle. I did the same thing for the undergraduate programs. Went back through, 2015 all the way through 2018. Again, no classes taught by Senator Kyle.
And Jim, you noted you reached out to ASU. What sort of questions did you ask the university about?
You know, what did he do? What classes was he teaching? What are the terms of his contract, of his agreement to be hired by ASU? And I have so far heard nothing back from the university.
Yes, you reached out to them, and they haven't gotten back to you. Any reason they wouldn't have that handy?
I certainly can't imagine why they wouldn't have that handy. It was a very high-profile hire, someone who, they trumpeted that they brought him on board, and I would expect that they'd be able to answer those questions fairly quickly. Even some of the questions were just really basic, which was, how much are you paying him per year? I mean, we saw $129,000 over 2 years, but it's unclear whether that, my guess is that 2 years doesn't include, he probably wasn't getting paid by ASU when he was a U.S. senator. Mm-hmm. So it probably only runs through September. So I did the math on that, and it kind of figures out to about, probably $70,000, $75,000 a year that he was on contract to be paid by ASU. So what is the university getting for that? You know, what are the taxpayers getting for that, assuming that this money is even coming from the taxpayers and not coming from another source of income for the school?
Is there anything based on the information that you found or based on that initial press release and big, you mentioned the excitement they had when they hired him, any chance this would be connected to the work he did at Covington and Burling? Is there any chance of that?
Well, certainly not officially. I think that's something that would be a pretty gross violation of lobbying laws if he was actively lobbying on behalf of the university. That's not to say that there is not a benefit for ASU or other institutions to have, have a friend on the roster in people like that, whether they are lobbyists at the Capitol in D.C. or lobbyists in Arizona or other people who are in stations of power who have the ability to weigh in on public policy issues and have their voice heard. Certainly Senator Kyle, even if he wasn't officially lobbying on something, could do that. I've heard some, there have been rumors that ASU was able to get some things to benefit it out of the tax reform bill from 2017. I have not been able to verify any of those and certainly have no idea whether Kyle was involved in any way, shape, or form on that. But there's obviously a benefit to ASU, aside from the prestige, I think, of just being able to say, hey, look, come to our school, look at who we've got. We've got distinguished people like Senator Kyle at our law school, so you should come to ASU's law school as opposed to going to Stanford Law or some other schools that they compete with.
One other thing that you mentioned in the piece, not nearly as much as $129,000 from ASU, was $5,000 from APS and SRP. Of course, for years, Senator Kyle was an attorney for SRP. Did that strike you as odd in any way?
Well, and it's not just $5,000, it's at least $5,000.
Right.
It was in a section that basically said if you made at least $5,000 from any entity or any company listed here, and he listed that, both of them were clients of Covington & Burling, and he derived some income which from those SRP and APS being clients, which tells me that he brought them on board, that he was able to get them to sign up for federal lobbying or advice of some other kind of nature. It may not have been direct lobbying, may have been what's known more as shadow lobbying, which is basically sitting in the room with the lobbyists and giving advice and saying, here, you should talk to this person or talk to this person. Or when I was in the Senate, here's an issue that we had, or here's the way to kind of make sure you can get your priorities on the bill that you're looking for.
A different form of Sherpa-ing then, I guess, in
Absolutely.
Some sense. Jim Small, editor-in-chief of Arizona Mirror. Jim, thanks.
Thank you.